I'm the host now. Alex, I think I'm going to introduce you how you introduce yourself on your
Please,
show.
of course.
So it's Alex Stein, and that's like that's my actual impression of you. Like I'm just going to like scream into the because I can't do what you do. So I feel like you have one of the most unique avenues of like comedy meets like politics meets entertainment under the fucking sun. And everyone who listens to the show knows that I don't usually ever introduce people. I'm just like, you can introduce yourself. You're a fucking.
Wow, that's too nice. But yes, I am shrill. I do screech. It's because I have attention deficit disorder and I can't hear you. What did you mute
I'm
yourself on?
shrill. Like you just called me shrill.
I'm
I get
shrill
it.
though. Yeah, but you're shrill, but I'm a little shrill. I'm a little annoying. Shrill is that you can use, it's like a metaphor. It's a descriptor that can be multiple things. Like something can be shrill because it's like me, or it can be shrill because it's kind of like you, like kind of like a emo British girl. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know.
Hello.
Not emo. I don't know how do we describe it. I know you're not emo, but I mean, how do we describe? I don't know. I don't know how to describe you. You're like an enigma wrapped in a riddle because you're like this, kind of like conservative, beautiful girl that, also talks about, this intense subject. So it's, you're an enigma. Regardless, I'm not good at impersonations. You're not that good either yourself, no offense. But it's hard. What I'm saying is you don't want to impersonate me. I'm not a role model. I am not a leader. You want to go in the opposite direction of me. That's what I recommend.
Wait, no, I won't like actually no, I'm gonna introduce you how I described you to my friends. So my friends was like, what are you doing on Sunday? Because I usually never work on Sundays. That's like my one day where I'm like, I'm gonna clean, I'm gonna paint, I'm gonna be chill, I'm gonna like do stuff for me. And then I was like, oh, I'm going on this show. And she was like, what show? I was like, Conspiracy Castle. She's like, what in the fuck is that? And then I was like, did you see the video? Because I think I had sent her your abortion one, which is hands down the one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Like I was actually sent that by someone else. Watched the full 3 minutes like several times over because I was like, this is too much all at once. But then I was like, do you remember that guy who was like all over the news for like rapping about getting vaccinated? And she's like, yeah. And I was just like, that guy's show. And she's like, oh, that's so cool. And I was like, yeah, it is. And then now like I've got another friend like writing about you, Daily Caller, where I work. And I'm just like, all roads, man, all roads lead to Stein.
Well,
So
that
thank
was
you for
the
having me on your show, but
no, I cut you off, but no, that was like one of the biggest things that Ben Shapiro shared my abortion speech. That helped me a lot. So yeah, no, all roads do lead back to well, the world's small. They like to make you think it's so big. It's really not that big. And especially like with the censorship now and like how crazy the mainstream media is, it's really like all the independent media companies are like I guess they're kind of all one in the same almost. They're battling the beast, I guess, is like they're the they're the David and Goliath. It's like all these like independent kind of conservative medias are the little stones, so we're kind of like, even though they're not all the same, like InfoWars is different than Blaze, is different than Daily Caller, than but they're kind of still on the same team, but it's not as congealed or coagulated as the mainstream media is, where it's like, we're gonna lie right to your face in order to push our narrative. They're the worst, There's definitely a little more integrity in like the conservative side of medium.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. But I wouldn't like even the oh fuck, sorry,
I wouldn't even
cat.
call it super conservative though, I
Yeah,
guess.
well, I wouldn't even call you super conservative. I mean,
No.
like we talked, I think, on your show about like, the fact we both smoke or are open to smoking pot. Like that's something that I think pretty much everyone on who listens to me is like aware of. My fucking cat's breaking
Well,
everything.
I talk about
You
this
guys
all
love
the time.
cats.
I'm not that I love cat. I'm a toxoplasmosis nut. But listen, that's from dealing with a fecal matter. A parasite is in my brain. The crazy cat lady syndrome. Wait, what were we just talking about before I went on my toxic
You're not that
plasmosis?
conservative,
Oh yes, I'm
like,
not that conservative
not
because
traditional.
I always talk about this all the time. I mean, when you look at the price of insulin in Texas, it's like $200 with tax. The price of insulin in Mexico is literally like $2. So I don't want the government involved at all. I'm in the car business. I sell cars. The reason why the government is so annoying, I hate it. But what it does is it does give the buyer some protection. I have to provide them, you know, an inspection. And if something's wrong with the car, I have to announce it. As a dealer, like the government being involved in little stuff like that, it's a pain in my derriere, but it's okay. Like I want a little bit government involvement. Now, you know, them subsidizing a mandatory vaccine, you know, globally, I don't want, that's too involved. So what I'm saying is, are we ever going to have a perfect system? No, but I just think if the government is going to interfere, like in our healthcare system, it's going to be crappy. I think, you know, that free healthcare is not going to be good, but I think free is better than zero. And it doesn't necessarily need to be free. We could just put caps on these insurance companies. It doesn't even need to be free. We just make it affordable. That's totally different than making it free.
Yeah. I mean, like we even talked on your show, which I'm going to put in the description, the link. I'm pretty sure that Miss Bitch just farted on me. I'll put in the description, like the link to the show that we did. You know, like I lived with the NHS. It was great. But then when I moved to America, dealing with like Medicare, Medicaid, it was like fine. Like, you know, I didn't have a rough go of it. But it also, you know, like free healthcare, the NHS, like that's, you know, like America left British rule for a reason. But I think there are ways to make it more affordable. Like there's that fucking pharma bro who upped the price of insulin to like $1 billion or whatever it was, like that little fucking fuck. You know, there's like, there's bad actors. And we talked about, you know, like the vaccine, there've been more people, more minted billionaires in the last 2 years since the COVID-19 pandemic than ever before in history. And almost all of them are linked to the pharmaceutical companies.
With a high concentration coming from China. China's gotten the most billionaires ever. I mean, what, and they're basically government owned. So people can't even see that.
That's ridiculous.
I mean, well, that's the problem. And I always talk about on my show is we are being run by multinational corporations and not human beings. Like these politicians, in order to get their campaign donations, they will do whatever. They will bend over backwards. They will literally like turn tricks like a whore in, on the street. I mean, literally, I mean, they literally will for these companies because they know the companies have all the money. It's like, this is how I describe it. This is a problem with America. This is a good example. I was just thinking about this. I was kind of brainstorming this idea. It's like a perfect indication of what's wrong with society is the Super Bowl that's happening in America this Sunday. And the Super Bowl is like the world's biggest sporting event. You know, everybody watches it all over. But to go to the Super Bowl, the cheapest ticket, like in the worst seat is nearly $5,000. And the reason that is because everybody that can afford to go to the Super Bowl are corporations. There's, you know, because they're spending it either for a client or this and that. I mean, there are some fans that's, you know, spend some of their hard earned money on it. Mm-hmm. But there, I mean, it's literally 95% companies that are buying these seats. And, you know, humans sit in the seats and they're giving it to people that work in the companies. But that's kind of like a pure, it's a good analogy of how like the world works. It's like, you know, rules for thee for not for me. It's just like the access that we have to go to things like the Super Bowl, a normal human being can't, but if you're attached to a company, then you can because they have all the power. So that's what I'm trying to say is we have a system that's rigged in order to try to, like an oil well, they try to pump out all the oil out of a well. They try to pump out everything from us humans. These corporations literally do that. I mean, we are just their cattle, their transactionary tools in order to make money. So they don't care about our well-being. And that's why they will subsidize our future in America. They'll make our future less bleak in order to raise their profits all over the world. And that's what they're doing. That's why they want to make it, you know, that's why they'll lobby to cut a pipeline in America in order to sell their oil and gas in a different country. So there's all these techniques where they'll trick us into saying, oh, you know, the homeless problem is so bad. Yet there's actually homeless political action committees that pay homeless people to stay on the street in order to make it seem like there's a worse homeless crisis. So that is the kind of, and nothing makes sense. These corporations are actually paying money to make our world worse to benefit themselves.
Okay. That was like, there was so much and that was so beautiful. And I'm glad that you brought up the homeless crisis. I'm really glad that you brought up like corporations as well. Like we have the homeless industrial complex. Like government is basically like a corporation really at this point. They're all owned by corporations anyway. You know, just follow the money basically, like you said. But okay, so Super Bowl. So we've both lived in Los Angeles. Like you lived there probably what, like 10 years ago, something like that?
Yeah, now, yeah. Gosh, it makes me feel so old. I can't believe it's 2022. Yeah, I moved there in 2010. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Less than 2012. It's crazy how time flies. Okay.
Yeah. Goes so quickly. But apparently they've like hidden all of the homeless people. Now, have you heard this? They've hidden all the homeless people around the SoFi Stadium, because you're right, like normal Americans don't go to the Super Bowl because they can't afford it. And because it's in LA, which is like the most expensive place ever. I literally had to write an article for a client last week about Disneyland in Los Angeles. And on the website where I was like sourcing information from, they were like, oh, LA is actually super dangerous. Like they have this terrible DA.
On the Disney site?
On a freaking Disney affiliate site. Yeah. I was just like, oh shit. Okay.
Like a travel companion type. Yeah.
But like, that's how bad it's got. But apparently they're hiding the homeless people in and around the stadium. And
well, they don't even hide them though. Okay. No? They just put them in a hotel room for, you know, like a week or something. Yeah. Cause I mean, it's like what they're doing in Canada with the protesters. They're renting out the open hotel room so the protesters can't use the hotel rooms. Yes, the government is paying in Ottawa. They're paying. The government is paying. Yes, and leaving the hotel rooms empty. So that's what they did in New York. They have whole hotels that are dedicated to homeless people. So yeah, I mean the homeless people aren't there right now because they'll give them a hotel for a week. You know, those, but they're just going to go right back there. And that's the thing, is it's not a housing issue. We can actually give these people a house. It's a mental health and drug issue that people are just choosing to be on the street, or they're just so whacked out on drugs that there's just no way that they could even like organize their life in order to get an ID to get whatever the free housing that they could get.
Yeah. And I mean, it's we've talked about this both on and off air. You know, it's the rise of fentanyl, it's the opioid epidemic. Like, this is what we're seeing in Los Angeles and in New York, is the rise, or the the tail end or the end of the road of the opioid epidemics. Like, if you use meth, like especially the new meth, it can take, now instead of being like 2-3 months of like consistent meth use, you'll be, you know, clean within like 2 weeks to a month. You're, you know, you can be back up and functional within like 3 months if you're really lucky. Now, if you use like this new meth for like 2 or 3 months, it's going to take you 16 to 18 months to even remember your own name after using it. And we're sort of seeing like the tail end of the road here. But okay,
I just want to say this. I mean, you can look at LA and then you look at San Francisco too. I mean, these are like places that are supposed to be, and I mean, I don't know how the vibes are, like what you pictured in growing up in the UK, but like California, San Francisco, I mean, you know, all the leaves. I'm just saying, you have this good vibrational energy with California. Like, I don't know why I'm about to say the Mamas and Papas.
Mamas and Papas, like the heroin. All the leaves.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, when I think of freaking San Francisco, like I think of this cool place, like so hip. And now, and that same with LA, you know, Hollywood studios and the glitz and the glamour and the beach. And now that's like all gone. And it's really sad because the leaders like Eric Garcetti, Nancy Pelosi, these are people that have been there for years. They were there when it was, you know, a little bit better, but like they've brought this. They have not been making the situation better. They've been purposely making it worse.
Yeah, they make money from it. Cause like every time, I have a friend actually who's running for mayor of Los Angeles. His name is Craig Grivey. He comes on the show quite a lot, has done for, like, I remember begging him to run for mayor like a year ago kind of thing. And he's finally doing it. But he explained to me on a previous episode that in Los Angeles, at least, there is no accountability system for expenditures from like federal grants and things like that. So like, say if you're Eric Garcetti, and I have a whole conspiracy about Eric Garcetti that I'll get to. I'd like to hear. If you're Eric Garcetti and you've just received like this $1.3 billion from the federal government to tackle the homeless crisis, you don't have to show any of the paperwork for how that money was spent. And so 50% of the first $1.3 billion just completely disappeared. Like, I remember that was such a shock when that news came out, that like even people like Bill Maher were covering it. And now we're at something like $12 billion being spent on the homeless crisis. And all it's done is create the homeless industrial complex, because now California wants more homeless people to come so they can go, oh, we need federal money. And then the federal government's like, here's your check. And then they go and write checks to all of their friends and their cronies who, you know, run like, quote unquote, like nonprofits and like affordable housing projects and all that fucking bullshit, when really it's just going back into like, and literally all of that money is just going, it's just fucking communism. My
brain, all the charities are bull crap. No, yeah. Seriously, Kay, I hate to say that, like, and I think we should be charitable, and I think human beings are actually like meant to be empathetic and charitable, mm-hmm. towards one another. Like, we're really not supposed to be like Scrooge and be like, oh, bah humbug, you can't have any, you know, like, I even though I'm anti-taxes, I think people actually, you know, would pay, you know, would willingly pay taxes if they are happy with what it goes to. But the problem is we're getting overtaxed and we're having the military industrial complex that are getting the majority of it, mm-hmm. and not solving our problems. But I'm saying, in the big scheme of things, like, people would support the system, but I guess I lost my train of thought, but the system's so corrupt, we don't want to support it. But I was going to say something. I always lose my train of thought. What Wait, was I saying?
You don't always, because I've seen you at these freaking council meetings. Can we talk about that for a sec? Like, okay, if you were in a council meeting in Los Angeles, what would you do? What would you? Would
well,
you,
I've
would you
been trying to. I fell asleep last night in West Hollywood. They called me at 11:45. At their time, they went to till midnight. So 11:45 is, that's 1:45 my time. And I fell asleep. But what I was going to say is, I had a whole spiel. I got to call in. I have to wait 2 more weeks because they only do it once every 2 weeks in West Hollywood. But I had a whole Hunter Biden spiel. I was going to talk all about how much I loved his art gallery in West Hollywood at Milk Studios. And I'm going to be like, the only problem is they didn't check vaccine IDs for under 18. And there was a ton of under 18s there, like a ton, alarming amount of under 18s there. And that's why I'm going to say that I think I got COVID. And I'm going to say I got COVID from there, but it was definitely worth it. Luckily, I went to the hospital, but it was less of a hospitalization because I was vaccinated. But yeah, I had all this thing planned. And the only reason I fell asleep, I was just tired. Doing all these, you know, what makes me more tired than anything, Kay, is not sitting here talking to you, but it's like the buildup of, you know, like knowing you have to do interviews, or, you know, knowing you have a busy day. I feel like that is almost what takes the hurry up and wait almost is what takes more energy from me than anything.
Yeah, the waiting around, it's like you get stuck in that sense of like lethargy. Like, I've just started doing like really strict daily schedules. So like, I'm up, like take the dog out, like showered, ready to hit the day by like 8:30. Right, basically until like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Then I do the shows or the radio. And then I'm like finally going back to the gym because I've got to quit smoking. I know I've been saying it for years, but I'm actually fucking doing it this time. And I found that I have way more energy because I know exactly what I'm going to be doing and when I'm going to be doing it. But like before, when you're a fucking freelancer and you're doing your own thing, it's so easy to just be like, well, I made like a little bit of money today. I could just go and like paint and do nothing for the afternoon.
Well, I love and doing then, nothing. Yeah, I'm saying I love then, doing nothing. That's I why. Yeah.
Too, but like, it's not, a, you know, I'm going to be old and have kids and all that kind of stuff at some point. So I figure like, I should work now while I have the freedom to work whenever I can before someone else comes in and like fucks up my schedule.
Well, I'm sure. You know, a husband, you know, if you ought to marry some rich guy, then you wouldn't have to do anything. You could just, you know, do your passion. I need to marry a rich woman, but it's easier said than done. But listen, I love to be a go-getter, to grind and shine, but there's nothing better than like vegging out and doing nothing. Like, I think human beings, the way our, I mean, I don't believe that we actually evolved from pond scum. Like, I don't think that, like, you know, the Big Bang, we were just, you know, everybody came from nothing. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, I think humans are kind of animalistic, and like, we're not the society that we live in now, this like digital age with all this technology and having to work for somebody and like constantly being in debt. This isn't like how humans were meant to live. Like, we were meant to live like stress-free in the open with food. And I mean, I don't even know exactly how humans were supposed to live is what I'm saying. But I know the situation that we're living now with all the distractions, all the stress, with all the stuff, I almost wish I could go back to like 1950 or 19, whatever, when there was less stuff. And I'm sure they had their own problems in. So I'm not saying it's even better to live there, but it's like, I don't think the society we live in today with the social engineers is the most conducive living conditions for human beings. And
I couldn't agree more. If I've said it once, I've said it a billion times, we never should have left the cave. I do not see the point in 99% of what we've cultivated as a society. Like, don't get me wrong, there are some things I like. I like having domestic cats. Like, they're fantastic. But
There's only three things: food, sex, and animals that are good in life. Everything else is a waste. I mean, you know what I mean? You want to learn. I'm saying you want to learn and you want to talk, but it's like, you know, in the cave, we would have had animals. We would have had sex and we probably would have figured out how to eat.
Yeah. That sounds like a good fucking day. Literally. Oh, I remember what my question was for you earlier. Yeah. Wait, because you're an animal lover. It sort of like extends to your diet.
I'm a vegetarian. Yes,
you're a vegetarian.
No meat.
Do you agree with Eric Adams that it's really hard to tell the difference between people who are addicted to cheese and people who are addicted to heroin? What? Like, just from like your perspective as a vegetarian, because obviously you're better than the rest of us.
No, right? But no, he's 100% right. I'm addicted to the queso morphine. I still eat cheese. That's my problem. And yeah, no. And because you can actually go to a farm and get, you know, like, what do they call it? Like conflict free cheese, you know, from like a cow that's not treated bad. But I'm saying, I eat blood cheese, blood diamonds. You know how they end the movie Blood Diamond? Like, I hate to admit it because there's stuff in the cheese called queso morphine. One of the reasons I don't eat meat, other than now my digestion's not as great as it was. At first, I used to eat keto. I was like really into, I got like really lean and got in good shape, but I was like just eating meat. I was like eating bacon and grilled chicken all day. And I was just I know it was terrible. My digestion was terrible. So when I switched to vegetarian, that helped. But this is why I don't eat meat, is this is the woo-woo side. First of all, I don't want my stomach to be a graveyard for dead animals, but I have to buy cat food for the animals. So I buy them. I'm not anti-meat because I have to buy them meat. I don't want to, there's a bunch of Instagram accounts of them feeding their cats plant-based diet.
And so like, dangerous. It's just yes. Like, that's a really great way to have a dead cat.
Exactly. Cats. And I justify because Sky Bear would kill a bird. They kill a bird. They would go kill an animal. And I think humans can kill. If you go hunt an animal and kill a deer, you should be able to eat that. But yeah. Like the factory farming for me is where it gets really bad because you see an animal, a cow, when they're in the truck going to the slaughterhouse and they see the other cows getting slaughtered, their friends, their family, the people they've been pasteurized for years with eating grass. They were just having this, you know, melancholy lifestyle, you know, eating grass all day. And all of a sudden they're at the slaughterhouse watching their friends get murdered. It's going to have an adrenaline rush. And what's going to come out in their blood is hormones that are similar to like what they say. Now, this is a tinfoil hat. Is the adrenochrome that, you know, like the blood of children that's supposed to be the elites like. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say is that's what they like. But regardless of what, if you believe in that or not, what I'm talking about is the adrenalized blood of these cows has negative lower vibrational energy. And when you're woo-woo like me, I know that sounds weird. It's low by, like when you kill a deer that was running, it's a little different. It didn't die as scared, maybe a little scared. But the circumstance, and then you look at a chicken that's been, you know, cooped in a cage its whole life, like that meat is low vibrational meat. I hate to say it, but we're vibrational beings. We're like a bee. We're like always buzzing. We don't buzz as hard. We're different, but and as soon as we don't have energy, we die. So that is one of the biggest tricks in humanity is they want to keep us vibrating at a low vibrational level. Mm. Because when you are at that low vibrational level, you're at a constant cortisol release. That's like the hormonal response. And so when you're in that constant stress reaction, you know, paradigm where you're just constantly reacting to the first thing. So you're in that micro, you can only see right in front of you. You're in that fight or flight is what they call that. But when you're not scared, you have the macro ability to look at things. You can see the big picture. So you're not as easy to manipulate. So that's why it's going on in society today is they're constantly keeping you under trauma-based mind control to keep you in a low vibrational state. Because if once you stay in that state long enough, dude, they have you all day long. They're going to get your third booster, fourth booster, fifth booster. So that's really what it is. It's about breaking out of that, being higher vibrational people. So with me, one of the ways I think it helps me woo-woo, people are going to laugh, is to eat less meat because I'm not a super Christian or anything like that. But in the Bible, I'm really not religious at all. But in the Bible, in the heaven, they say, God says you're going to live with the animals harmoniously. So you're not going to be cutting its leg off for a steak and posting it on Instagram. You're going to be petting the cow and you're probably not going to be hungry. You're probably, you know, and at the end of the day, if I had to go kill a cow or eat a banana, I had the choice. I would eat the banana. Even though I know steak's delicious, if I didn't have to kill a cow, I'd eat a million bananas.
I think that's kind of beautiful. And so I get it. Like the queso morphine.
I still eat the cheese though, because the queso morphine, the chemical in it, it's almost imitates meat too. It does create a little bit of the same like receptor reaction. When you eat the queso morphine, that's a chemical in it. That's so hard, but he's so right. Eric Adams, listen, the guy's a guy's a douche in that he beat Curtis Sliwa, in that he is probably just like, you know, a de Blasio, exactly, dick sucker. But this is the thing. When it comes to the plant-based lifestyle, everybody always makes fun of me. I call myself the plant-based pimp, and you know, it is like the Bill Gates, you know, event 201 kind of agenda. But for everybody, for everybody out there, if you substitute one meal for a salad, your health would be better. So I'm not saying quit meat. And I don't even know if Eric Adams is necessarily saying don't eat meat. But I really do think in a society that eats this is the problem in America. We're so fat. And I had this same brainwash. I thought every meal I have to have some sort of meat. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like everything has to have a protein. I like thought that I would be like, oh, I'm not full. Even if I ate a whole bowl of like spaghetti marinara, I'd be like, where's the meat? You know, I'm like, you know, I'm just saying you don't need meat in every meal. You can't eat meat. If you want to eat meat, eat all the meat you want. But at the same time, those fake meats, I ate some of those. Those are terrible for you. Those are the worst.
It's plastic. It's just plastic.
It is. It's chicken flavored plastic.
Well, I have a theory. Okay. You've got to explain to me after I tell you my theory, whether it's a conspiracy or not, because I don't think it is. But I don't really know what defines a conspiracy because I haven't tried to learn that. But
real quick, the definition of a conspiracy, it was created after the assassination of JFK by the CIA. They created the term. Yes, they created the term conspiracy theorist. And that's why it's still demonized today in the media. Yes, the CIA created that term. That's declassified. Google it.
This fucked me up. Sorry.
I know. Yeah, you got fucked up for real. The CIA created that term. Shit. They're the ones that demonized it. But a conspiracy is just two or more people conspiring behind closed doors. That's what I'm saying. You and I are technically conspiring. There are so many conspiracies. And that's another thing. I wear the tinfoil crown. I'm the king of the conspiracy castle. I'm a freak. You don't need to be like me. But for the people out there, they're the real clowns that literally think the government doesn't lie to you, or that the government government has your best interest in every situation, or the government, you know, that's what is called cognitive dissonance. And people really think that. So I'm not saying that you need to go totally like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein is, you know, running the world behind closed doors and, you know, the queen's a lizard or all that. But at the same time, guys, the government, but I'm saying at the same time, the government does not have our back. The government's not this like, oh, we're the good guys. We're the, you know, anybody that believes that is an imbecile.
I really couldn't agree more. I mean, like, there's so much evidence for that, though, as well. It's like, is it like a conspiracy when there is that much evidence? But so I have a theory then, I think, less of a conspiracy. So you're talking earlier about like all the stuff that's like pumped into animals' blood when they get scared before they die. Like, I grew up eating what I like to call like happy animals. Cause like I would go to the farm. There was actually a farmer in the national park where I grew up, where what he would do is once a week, he would drive his animals around. Like, he would put them into the trailer, and just drive them around the park. And his theory was, if they get used to the trailer, they won't actually realize when they're on their way to the slaughterhouse, which sounds really fucking dark now that I've said
it. It's really dark. See, they know. The animals know. Could you imagine living your whole life on a farm, on a beautiful, majestic farm, and you live through all those storms and all those rains, and you were scared, but you woke up in the morning as a little, you know, cow or whatever, and the grass was still there, and you just think, you know, you think that's the worst thing that'll ever happen to you. And then one day, all of a sudden, they put you in the back of a freaking truck, and you're crammed in there, and you have your dad's, you know, calf, you know, the foot up your ass, and you're about to take them to slaughterhouse. There is a reaction. Like, when you die and you eat that meat, like, that the guy knows there is a reaction. That's why they wanted to humanely slaughter animals. That's why, like, they say, oh, halal is a, you know, more humane way of, you know, that say it's meat, but it's just a more humane way, which still, I guess that makes it maybe a little bit better. But at the end of the day, I think it's a lie. I think go ahead.
A fine line between like halal kosher meats and like, look, I'm a
huge dude. Any slaughterhouse video, they're putting them by chain. Yeah. Sometimes they don't die. Those videos, I don't care. They can call it halal all day long. If you're in a slaughterhouse, there's no such thing. You're just a, it's like the person, you know, at the animal. I don't know how the person puts a cat to sleep. I don't know how a person. I mean, I would. And I don't ever want to shoot a person. I think they've done experiments with people where, like, you know, I think it's like the Stanford experiment where, like, they had people, you know, on the other side of a thing. And, like, would you push a button to hurt them? And people, like, would.
People got so into it, though.
They get so into it. I can see why, because you have the power. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, if I had to pick a huge, like, I can drive past a homeless person. I'm like, you know, I don't really think anything. But if I see a stray dog, I'm U-turning. I'm going to get hit by a car. So what does that say about me? Like, why, you know, why am I more empathetic to the dog? Something's wrong. That's probably not the best way to be.
I don't know. I kind of get it. Like, you know, I have more cats around me than people. So maybe I'm a little bit biased. But I want to get back to sort of the more like food theory that I have. So, okay, like psychotropic drugs, when you talk about like mushrooms, like there's a theory that we only know of 5% of all the animals. This is like going way back to like dinosaurs and before. We only know of 5% of all the animals that have ever lived on this planet, like ever. And we know even less about the plants that have existed on this planet. And so when we were all still like living in the cave up until like probably about 100 years ago, really, let's be honest, maybe it's the 20s now. So like maybe like 150 years ago, like we were going out and we were still to a large degree, other than in like the sort of wealthiest upper echelons, we were still really like hunter gatherers. Like we were farmers, definitely. There was still a certain amount of like hunter gathering. And so a lot of psychotropic mushrooms, algae that's in water. One time I ate a bunch of fish that ate algae that eats DMT, and that was the weirdest 36 hours of my fucking life.
Wow. You got a contact high from the fish, ingesting it. Wow.
It was insane. But not like that was just like more of a kind of like, I might die from this kind of moment. And then afterwards I just felt amazing. But no, so there's like this theory that we used to eat this stuff all the time. Like it was just normal. We would eat things that would naturally kind of make us happy, associate with, you know, I don't know if you've ever done.
Let me tell you this conspiracy.
God.
Yeah, let me tell you this. This is rings God. I should have just let you finish that statement. This, and I don't believe this necessarily. You know, I have a bunch of people on my show, but like there's all these people, and multiple people have said this, that in the Bible, the manna that they eat, that the Israelites were given by God that saved their lives, was supposedly magic mushrooms. There's people, that's what people say. I know. And there's multiple people. I've had multiple people on my show talk about that theory, and that they were on in the desert and they were eating those. That's how they got connected to God, is they were eating those mushrooms because they had cattle and stuff and they were picking them off the poop of the cattle, supposedly. I mean, is that true? I don't know. But I feel like you do take these hallucinogenic psychotropic drugs and they do take you to like a spiritual level where they tap you into. Listen, first of all, you talk about the animals that we don't know about. The deepest we can go in the ocean is 7 miles. And the deepest we've dug into the ground is 7 miles, a great borehole in Russia, and then Mariana's Trench in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And they said in the submarine that when it got to the 7 miles, that like it hit, even though it was like water that was too dense for them to go down. The submarine couldn't go down. So what I'm saying is this is all, you know, whatever you can look up the Mariana's Trench submarine. I guess what I'm trying to say is there's animals, there's fish underneath there. So, I mean, there's all kinds of marine life. We have no idea. I mean, there's parts of, so the idea that there's like, you know, vegetation we don't know about, I'm sure. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Humans, we like to think we know everything, but we really don't. I mean, that's another thing is we don't know crap. We don't know jack shit.
How old were you so I should preface this what are you doing? Are you okay? Everything's fine. Hi, Miss Thing is now.
Oh, stretch.
She's just doing her own thing.
Is that Miss Bitch? No, she now she's Miss Bitch.
Miss Thing. There we go. Hi. Well, bye. Where are you going? Are you going? Bye-bye. I got my legs back now. But so I was probably like far too old, like 21. No, I was still living in the UK, so I must have been like 18, 19, 20, where I made the switch from being like that youthful, like, I know everything, to holy fucking shit, I know less and less every single day. And like kind of going into that more mindset of like, everything is real until you prove to me otherwise. Like everything, like fucking mermaids, aliens, everything, fairies, everything is real until you prove to me that it's not. And like, I think that's what science used to be. Like science used to be the, can you prove that this doesn't exist? Like it's that sense of wonder. And that's just gone. Now it's like a proof to
it's
me.
God.
That it's God.
Science is God now. These people worship science like it's their new, you know, they're going to say, oh, I'm an atheist, but it's like, oh, trust the science, 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 science. I love science. I'm sure you love science. I'm not, I would love to do a science experiment, make a little car out of a solar car or whatever stupid experience. Everybody likes science. Do you do the volcano experience? And nobody's anti-science. Yeah. Nobody's like, the science is so stupid. I hate it. But the thing is, these people blindly believe science. I mean, they just take some expert and they even did a thing. You can take metadata, you know, like the data from like all these surveys and make it construe it in any sort of way. Like there's ways, you know, where they can do algorithms to make, you know, mass data basically come out any scientific outcome they want. They're to make a drug look like it's good for you, make it look like it's bad for you. If they analyze enough of surveys, that might not even be that related to it. So what I'm saying is these doctors at all these colleges, Johns Hopkins, even though they just came out with a study saying the lockdowns weren't even beneficial for stopping the spread of COVID. What I'm saying is all these scientists, idiots at these schools, and they're all dummies. They think they're so smart. Those are the science that we don't like. Yes, we like, we want science. What I'm trying to say is we want scientific advances without having to do experimental drugs on beagles in Wuhan laboratories. Yes. That's what I want.
Yes, I could not agree more. And it's like the open-mindedness. You know, Dr. Drew said to me once, and I'm paraphrasing, this is not a direct quote, but like particularly when it comes to medicine, he was like, doctors are employees now. Like scientists are told how to like think and feel and like what the kind of almost like militarized like in-group, out-group type ideal is. And that's why you get, like, I work with this one group, or I'm writing about this one group of like COVID researchers, right? Who, when the whole entire medical community was like, oh, this disorder called like long haul COVID doesn't exist. It's just a mental health problem. These scientists were like, well, all these people saying that they're still suffering from COVID, like 6 months down the line, like they're not all fucking mental. Yeah. Like there might actually be something wrong.
I believe in a long sort of COVID now.
They proved it was real. They proved that like all these proteins were there and like it's fucking insane. Anyway, like it is scary to think that there's just such a natural proclivity for such a large portion of the population, like you said, to just fall in line with the rhetoric. Well, like, I don't know if you went and like, I guess if you do like a master's program, you have to write a thesis when you're in university in the US, but like we do them undergrad in the UK. And then when I moved out here, I worked with PhD candidates, getting them through their like PhD dissertations. Science is out of date after 5 years, and you can't prove anything is real until like three or more different people have like hypothesized it. And you can still like, you know, three pieces of data, like that's fucking nothing. Did you know like the opioid epidemic? I didn't realize this until I watched Dope Sick and then read Dreamland, that the opioid epidemic, the way that Purdue Pharma were able to push OxyContin.
They told them it was not addictive.
Yeah, they said it was non-addictive.
Because of one study.
It wasn't a study. It was a paragraph letter written to a medical journal like in the 80s. The guy who wrote it doesn't even remember writing it. He seemed like actually kind of like a cool dude.
Yeah, but see, that's another thing, Kay. They knew every opioid is addicting. Any real doctor in this. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're not so dumb to think, oh, you know, it's not addicting. They know, and they still lied. I mean, Purdue lied. And like, so the doctor's going along with it. Yeah, they go along with it because they're legally allowed to. You said that. My dad's best friend is a guy named Dr. Jesse Doyle. He's like my family doctor. And he actually, you know, now that he's not retired, he's still a practicing doctor. But like about 10 years ago is when like the medical industry just got nuts, is he sold his practice and started working for this doctor that, you know, or this company, excuse me, not a doctor, like a company bought his practice. They bought a couple. Mm-hmm. He's in Mesquite, Texas, which is like outside of Dallas. It's not mm-hmm. too small of a town, but it's a smaller town. You know what I'm saying? His job sucks. He hates it. I mean, he became corporatized, but he kind of had to do it because they gave him an offer he couldn't refuse. They gave him so much money, he could not do it. You know what I'm saying? If you ever practice it. And that's the problem, is all these doctors are being, so anybody that like has an independent thought, so easy they can be like, oh, well, here's a $5 million deal to buy your practice or whatever it is. And then just prescribe what we tell you, or listen to whatever the medical representative says, you know, whatever they says goes, because they know the law. So as long as you follow the law, which the medical pharmaceutical companies write, basically.
Yeah, that's where their money goes. It goes towards lobbying efforts. which is basically what's happened during this epidemic. Let's be honest. Like, one of the main board members of Pfizer runs Reuters. You know, and like donates to
the cross contamination is bullcrap. They're all it's all the same people. I mean, literally, it's like Neil Young. You know, he spoke out against Joe Rogan, but then his whole entire album or half of his album is owned by like the Blackstone Group, which is one of the biggest investors in Pfizer. So I mean, you can just connect all these dots to all these people that, you know, if you're that big, you're gonna have influence over everything. And the medical pharmaceutical company is so big, it's like a bank. You know, they just own so many different commodities, and they use them. They can use them like Neil Young for their benefit.
So, okay, as the king of conspiracies, the king of the conspiracy castle, who do you think us kind of like peons down at the like bottom of the totem pole of contemporary society? Who do we need to be most scared of? Like, if you had to like group together a demographic or like a conspiracy, like who should we be?
It's
most
easy.
Afraid of?
No, this is it. This is easy. Yeah. So I forget who wrote this book, but I had this guest on my show talking about it, Dr. Day. But it is, they did a stat. It's like 99% more likely for you to be a victim of your own government than a foreign government. That's just so just starting out. It's very rarely that you would ever be like, if you're murdered or by a government, that would be a foreign one. So usually, you know, mathematically going to be your own. And second of all, you can look at the weaponization of the people on January 6th, basically, you know, those people went there and, you know, say whatever you want. It was not a terrorist attack. It wasn't like a Pearl Harbor. It wasn't like 9/11, but they've weaponized the FBI to go after these people and ruin their lives. So if you, me as your threat, it's probably not your local law enforcement, but it's your federal law enforcement. Because what happens is after 9/11, we signed the Patriot Act. So now they have warrantless search and seizure of your phone and email under the guise that you might be a terrorist. And now you might be a domestic terrorist. I would have never thought that when all of us were like, oh, let's go kill all them Iraqis. Oh yeah, let's go start a war in Afghanistan. We hate them all. You know, that's like everybody is pounding the war drums in America. Oh, let's go do it. We were all so stupid to think, oh, wait, you can use that same legislation on domestic terrorists? Mm-hmm. What's a domestic terrorist? And now the domestic terrorist is a guy that has a jacked up truck and then has a MAGA hat on. So, you know, that's where we're going in society, is where it's much more likely that some sort of alphabet agency, you're going to be censored by the technocracy, by the social media companies.
Dude, and you're then, so censored. Like, so hard to find you.
And not only that, not only is the shadow ban, but then the government can come after you. So it's like you just really have no freedom. So in my mind, I think we have to be civilly disobedient. But this is what I was talking about. This is why I want to bring up January 6th. I'm rooting on the guys in Canada. I support the guys in Canada, but it looks an awful lot like January 6th. Now they're going to write all these laws. You can't honk your horn. Now then they're going to like tow these people's trucks, and they're going to get in debt, and then they're going to lose their jobs, or I don't know what's going to happen. But what I'm saying is they're going to use them as patsies. They're going to use them as a matter of fact, they're going to use them as an example. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to be over penalized. So that's why I hate this for them. It's like the January 16th, even though they're in the right, even though I agree with them 1,000%, but because our government's corrupt, because the government of Canada is corrupt, they will go after them tenfold. So it's like, I guess the only way for us to win the war, I guess, against evil people is for us to all somehow figure out a way to be non-compliant, not protest, but just not listen. It's different. Like, you know, if we just didn't follow the rules, if we just ate at the restaurants and didn't show the password, we just didn't get the vaccine, which I don't know if that's even possible to do. That's the only way to truly beat them, is to just not follow the rules. But as long as there's rules in place and we follow them, they're always going to use them. They can make honking illegal. They can make, you know, like you said, a domestic terrorist, and they can check your emails and phone records without a warrant. Mm-hmm. It's a rigged game.
Oh, I was told like point blank, not just by my immigration attorney, but by like other immigration attorneys. They're just like, oh yeah, they're going to like scour your social media. I wrote a piece this morning with one of my editors about there's now a huge investigation into the United States Capitol Police, because there have been reports of the police basically like spying on members of Congress, the family members, things like that. Absolute shit show. And it's just like, accepted now. Like, I remember when like Edward Snowden and like all that kind of stuff came out, everyone was just like, oh, that doesn't really, like, especially back in the UK, they were just like, who cares? Like,
well, Edward Snowden,
they can, like, see your stuff, like, if you've got nothing to hide. And I'm like, yeah, but they're going to use that to compel you to, like, do things in the future. And again, like, eradication of freedom, like, exactly, like, you just fucking nailed it. And, like, I'm a guest in this country, so I'm waiting. It's either going to be China, because I shit on them a lot, the US government, or probably just one of my ex-boyfriends, really, is probably gonna kill me. It's one of the three, really. Or, you know, some random crazy bitch who's, like, jealous of my great hair.
No, that's not, nobody's gonna kill you.
Well, a couple have tried,
maybe, but, yeah. Well, I can see
what's
why.
Your favorite conspiracy, though? Like, what's the one where, like, once you start, like, what's okay, your favorite and the one that you hope is true?
I mean, the one that I'm most attached to probably personally is 9/11, because that's the one that kind of woke me up to everything. I mean, 9/11, the idea that it was 19 hijackers from Saudi Arabia armed with box cutters that were able to defeat, you know, the greatest military force on earth. And then you also this is what they tell us in the official story, that George Bush and Condoleezza Rice both were warned about terror attacks by the Taliban that were planned to take out towers in New York City. So, and that they just I'm saying they just kind of disregarded it. So first of all, if we just believe the official story, which I don't, then they're insubordinate. Then they didn't protect us, and they should be apologizing. But they didn't do that. As a matter of fact, anybody. Oh, this is City of Houston. Hold on, watch. I'm about to speak at this meeting. Hold on. Okay. Hello.
Hi, Alexander Stein, available?
Yes, this is he.
Hi, this is Rita, giving you a call with Harris County Commissioner's Court.
Is it my turn to speak?
Yeah, I was calling to see if you were still interested in speaking.
Yes, I'm ready to go.
Okay, perfect. There's a couple of people ahead of you, but it won't be long. So I'll go ahead and patch you through so you'll be able to hear them speaking. And then once you hear your name called, then you can begin.
Awesome. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you. Hold please.
Okay, so let me tell you who I'm talking to right now. I'm speaking to Lena Hidalgo. She's the county commissioner of Houston, and I'll put it in the chat. Look at this article. Hold on. Let me see in the chat. She, like, disgraced this cop at this. Click the article.
Hi, Commissioner. Well, we're having a birthday celebration, and so here's.
You only get 1 minute, so it'll be quick.
This is like an exclusive. Like, everyone listening at home, this is like a big deal. This is like an exclusive. Alex Stein, Primetime Stein, 99, doing what he does best.
Oh, my God. Look, somebody's singing. It's so quiet. Can you hear it? Oh, Mattress Mack. So this guy, Mattress Mack must have paid this girl to sing. This guy's famous. He bet $4.5 million on the Astros, and they won the World Series. Then the next year, he bet even more. They lost. Google Mattress Mack, and now he has a bet on the Super Bowl this year. Another $4.5 million bet.
Oh my God!
That's Mattress Mack. Good for him. I got to send him a message. He's the biggest mattress seller in Texas.
Can we talk about the mattress store conspiracy after?
Thank you, sir. Your time is up.
There you have a guy.
Let's see.
Next is Brendan Cooney speaking in person.
Luckily, it's just 1 minute. I'm probably after Brendan. They wouldn't put me on if I wasn't, like, on deck or.
My name is Brendan Cooney. Potential in progress is a very low cost, easy to set up interim use Astrodome proposal. The floor of the Astrodome would be divided into three sections. Each of those
sections
would be divided into many 12 by 12 foot areas. Each of these small areas will contain a particular instrument for that section. 100 violins in one section, 100 keyboards in another.
Come on, I don't know. What is he talking about? Doing what?
Wait, have you heard the mattress store conspiracy?
No, what is it? Why we have one?
Okay, the mattress store conspiracy is basically that every single, like, have you ever seen anyone in a mattress store? I've only been in one once, and that was because I was drunk and I wanted to jump on the mattresses, and they let me. It was my birthday.
Is that in the UK or that's in America, right?
This is in America. So there's a mattress store everywhere. All of them were open during the pandemic.
We live in our mattresses. We're fat Americans. Our mattress is the most important place. We're a fat American.
Yeah, but, like, mattress stores are run by the government, and that's where
that's maybe my time.
Thank you so much. Next is Joseph Ballard.
Okay, so mattress stores are run by the government, because why?
So basically, mattress stores are run by the government, and like I've heard everything from like they keep like ground troops underneath just in case like shit kicks off and they need like major sort of urban like troop movement. All the mattress stores in LA, there were like 4 mattress stores within a mile of my apartment.
Why are there so many?
Everywhere, right? I've never seen anyone in there. Never, ever, ever. This is like prime real estate in some of the biggest cities in the country. Like, you know, one of the mattress stores, it was easy 10 to 15 grand a month to like rent this space on Santa Monica Boulevard. Like, there's no way that it was like less than that for like, and that's including like, you know, utilities, all that kind of stuff, like ridiculous square footage. And the all of them stayed open during the pandemic. All of them were getting roof work done. And one of my neighbors was like, have you heard the mattress store conspiracy? He was from the South. And I was like, no, what's that? And he was like, oh, you need to Google that shit. And then we got like, you know, 3 crates of White Claw in, and his girlfriend's like, right, tell him the theory. And he's just like, they are all. Kevin
Harvey guy. My very time. They're all.
They are all.
I think I got to press something. Hold on.
So let me finish.
Your time is up. I want to talk to everybody.
Come on.
Thank you so much.
Come on.
We'll have the attorney for the best.
This has been my turn.
Okay.
Thank you.
Looks like he's there. Wow.
Finland?
No, this is Houston. Houston, this Harris County. Come on. It's only over phone. Hey guys, my name's Alex Stein. I don't know if I have to unmute myself. I guess I'm okay. But I'm here talking because I want to point out Lena Hidalgo and what she did by disrespecting Galloway's service. You know, that corporal that passed away, for you not to have enough respect to sit in the right seat and to act like because you're a county judge, you get to sit in some sort of special position at an officer's funeral, just shows the kind of lack of integrity that you have, and that everything you do is based on some sort of clout chase or clout race. And you can tell that you're using your county commissioner seat in order to put, you know, for political gain for another higher position. So the fact you can't even show respect to a dead officer should be a good indication for the constituents in Houston that shows what type of person you are, that you can't even take a back seat on the worst day of some people's family's lives, the burying of their son or their family member. So it just shows the type of leadership that we have in Houston, and it shows the direction that we're going is not a good direction. And the fact that Lena Hidalgo is steering the ship, it's like a drunken sailor. We're going to crash the boat. And so, thank you. Okay, that's it. That's it. Yeah, I just actually wanted to talk crap to Lena. Well, Lena Dog is annoying. So she didn't like her seat. She was this corporal, Houston cop just died, and she was in the news because she didn't like the seat. The seat that she was given was not in the front. But they don't really like Lena because she's an anti-cop county commissioner. And so then her group, of course, you know, her PR said, oh, well, she just wanted a different seat. It wasn't, you know, out of disrespect. She just wanted to sit closer because she wanted to be a more part. You know, they said she was doing it out of, you know, because she was trying to be nice, but really it was like kind of disrespectful making other people.
Good for you for calling her out. I've only ever seen you do the sort of like piss take. Ow, bitch.
Oh, I do the serious ones too. But see, because that's on the phone and that's not going to go viral or anything. I just wanted to talk. I know Lena's listening right now and she's getting a lot of heat for this. So it's like, she's already got enough clout for that. I could have been goofy like Mattress Mac, but because you can't see my face, anytime you get the phone in ones, like the Seattle one, I'm not really worried about missing that one. I'm about to leave here and I'm about to go call into that one because you can't see the face. It's not as funny. Like I called Ottawa and that one got like 50,000 views. Not that it's all about views, but you can just tell organically what people like. And that video call was one of my funniest calls, but because you couldn't see me, it wasn't as funny. Does that make sense? So even though it was super funny, I got a lot of views. If you could have saw my face, it just would have been, and they showed me on their actual overlay and like the Ottawa overlay, or excuse me, it was Vancouver. They would have showed me, it would have looked little, it would have got more views and looked cooler. So the phone call ends, it's kind of harder to be goofy. It's not as good. I want to just cuss her out, basically, is what I did.
Good for you. And then what's the next one you're doing? The Portland one? Can we get like some exclusive info on that before it happens?
Well, I'm just going to say that it looks like the Taliban, Osama bin Laden, who was a CIA asset that we actually paid to fight Russia. You can see a movie called Charlie Wilson's War all about it. Mm-hmm. But the Taliban, we actually funded them, the Mujahideen. The Mujahideen is going to make a comeback in Portland. So Portlandia, be on the lookout for the Taliban.
I'm so excited. Not for the Taliban, but
no. Well, we like the Taliban now. We brought them over. What are you talking about? We brought a ton of them over. So we like the Taliban. We're pro Taliban. America is.
Oh yeah, I like that. I have two of my closest friends in the entire universe. They're both now retired special forces. And they have both said independent of each other, along with like Fort Bragg is like right around the corner here. So like all the special forces guys train. I mean, don't get to see enough of them. It's kind of rude.
Okay. Wow. I see your eyes. I can see the white of your eyes when you say that. Wow. Your eyes. You don't want to miss it.
I'm just taking the piss. They do Robin Sage, which is like when they practice their like domestic ground warfare thing. And they like basically have to fight an enemy, but it happens like throughout the area of like Greater Raleigh all the way up to like Fort Bragg. So like I have a bunch of friends who are firefighters. And my best friend's boyfriend was like, oh yeah, like what do we need to get for all the Robin Sage guys, like when they're doing this test? Cause they always go into the fire stations to like see if they can like sleep or get water, things like that. And so I texted like all the boys, like being like, hey, what, you know, you've all done Robin Sage. Like, what's the one thing that you guys would like really like want? Thinking it would be like, oh, you know, like water, somewhere safe to sleep. Like, don't tell anyone who comes by that we're there. They were all just like, yeah, just give them candy. Just give all the boys candy. And I was just like, you grown ass men, like 30 of you could have just been dropped in the Middle East, just been told, go and kill the Taliban, and the Taliban would have all been dead within like 6 months. But no,
you just had to give them candy and Sprite or whatever. Now they, you know, this is the last thing I want to say though. This is the, you know, and I'm not saying the soldiers are good. Actually, the people that are in our military, the guys I like, but this is the military in a nutshell. In multiple bases in Kandahar and Uzbekistan, I believe, I forget how many different bases, but this is a multiple bases, not one. They had trash pits. Were too close to the bases. So there would be a terrible odor because it would basically how they'd get rid of their trash. They would have huge burn pits. You've never heard of this, Kay?
No.
Well, as soon as you get done with this, Google the Afghanistan army burn pits. And this is, you know, out in the open. They put all of these bases that we did that we built in the Middle East. We put the burn pits too close. So the smell would be toxic and all of the soldiers breathed in toxic fumes. Google it right now. You got to Google it. You got to look it up right after this. So I'm just saying that shows you how tactical and smart these military forces are. They don't even know where to put the hole to burn shit. I mean, they're not that smart. They can't even burn their own poop right. I mean, that should be one. If they can do anything, they should figure out how to burn crap where it doesn't affect their base, even if they have to drive it 20 miles away or whatever. I mean, they have the whole desert, and the burn pits were still closed where like it would have food particles, you know, poop part. That's where they would put all their sewage and stuff. It would come in the air. It was close enough where it'd get lifted in the sky and come in the air, and they were living on it multiple bases, not just one. So it's almost like they were either purposely doing it, which I wouldn't put it past me. That's a conspiracy theory, or they're just that stupid, which I would believe that as well, honestly. But that's the other thing with 9/11. They're like, oh, we're just messed up. That's why, you know, we're just stupid Americans. We just fucked up. They didn't just fuck up. It's not, you know, you don't just fuck up in 19 hijackers, you know, bring down 3 towers with 2 airplanes.
Oh, the 7th tower.
Yeah, it came down. And then you at BBC, you know, they said the Solomon Brothers building collapsed, you know, like 45 minutes before it did. They announced it on BBC, which is just weird. So
they did. Okay, you're going to have to send me.
I'm going to send you the link. Oh, my gosh. Here, wait, like BBC announces Tower 7 before. Oh, the BBC announces Tower 7 before it falls.
I remember talking to probably the most like right wing person I've ever met in my life, right after they watched like all the Zeitgeist movies and went on like this like crazy deep dive into this stuff. And all they could say, and I'm being very cautious not to like give identifiers here, which is so crazy because I remember my mom said a similar thing after I was just like, have you seen all of this stuff? Because like I was young and I was just like, conspiracies. UFOs are my favorite, by the way.
Yes.
But this particular person who thankfully, again, I have no public affiliation with, they're just like an off-screen friend, said, well, what happened to all of the people on the plane that maybe didn't crash into the Pentagon? And that was when I was just like, dude, that's some like Malaysia Airlines flight type.
Have you seen that? Have you seen there's no pictures though? Okay. Have you seen there's no video footage of the going into the Pentagon or flight 93 in Shanksville, Pennsylvenia? There's no wreckage. You got, really? Oh my gosh. I don't have time to get into 9/11. We're going to do this. So we got to do it next week. We'll do a 9/11 dive. I'll tell you all about it. Okay I got to call in. All right. What do we want to say before I go? Okay, I love you, Kay. You're my new queen. See ya. I'll see you soon. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.